This is a late night cast. This is a late night cast on a Sunday night when the episode of the podcast is supposed to go up on Sundays, by the way. And this is a late No Chill Island. So, I really don't know why we keep doing this. We're never going to get advertisers.
Well, if we get advertisers, then we record back on Saturdays when it's a lot easier.
Well, if we get advertisers, we'll... Do you think if we get advertisers, we should slow down on No Chill Island or just hit the gas?
I say pump the brakes, dog.
So you gonna sell out if we get advertisers?
Oh, I'm selling out heavy, you know that. Goddamn. Jesus. I'll wear me undies, shop a blue apron, do all that shit. I even make my own Squarespace site.
At least that's one thing I like about what we're doing is that we'll be upfront the moment we sell out.
Oh, God, yeah. I'll be like, here's Blue Apron. They're paying me to say this, and that's good. Here you go. Get your free vegan meal now.
Except they didn't pay you to say that, so let's move on.
No, exactly. Fuck you until you pay me. Then I like you.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 41,
and
I am Dan.
I'm Sean.
Because we're international, because we have like 6.5 German listeners now, which was up from 4, which we used to be at, so, you know, we're making progress. But yeah, this is a podcast about music news, music culture, all of those good things, and it was quite a week of music. A little bit from the genres that you don't often hear about, mm-hmm. just, you know, standard rap. You have Bishop Nauru from legendary production, by the way. Just from K-Tronauta and Doom. Those are just two legendary producers in the game. There's also Yola Tengo, a legendary indie rock outfit that's nearing, I think I read somewhere, almost 4 decades in being in existence, which is like, that's wild. Plus, speaking of wildness, we've got No Chill Island 6, where we'll be taking on Datsik, Lil Pump, and Drake. Sean's got something to say about Fortnite. I don't know what he's got to say, and I don't know if I'll need to bleep it out, but we'll just go ahead right into it.
Yeah, there'll be some things up and that will be said. It'll be bad, yet beautiful.
Yeah, so new singles of the week. I didn't get into many new singles this week. This is kind of like a news-ish, fun-heavy week. But I do say there are some music videos that I think people should check out. Sean, do you know... like follow music videos as much as
nope.
I do. I like watch as many as I can, especially for things I like. So Run the Jewels release run for Sorry Mama, kind of. It's actually for the Adult Swim Fest, which is like the Adult Swim's like music festival. And it's directed by one of the directors from Rick and Morty. And it's actually like a Rick and Morty short. It's animated kind of like it, no voices or anything, but it's really cool. It's like a acid trip episode, and it's kind of authentic because it has a director from the show. That's really awesome. And then Ray Shremmerd's Power Glide is also a cool video, very like trappy, but they're also like Ray Shremmerd is the same video production quality as like Kendrick Lamar, but in the trap game, if that makes sense. So it's like really visually striking,
okay,
even if it is just about like fast cars and bullshit, but like
explosions.
Ray Shremmerd's a lot more, yeah, but Ray Shremmerd's a lot less like.
Who did Bank Account music video?
That's 21 Savage, laterally, but like I don't know who did the direction for that. That's a different one.
Okay.
They'd be different.
Because that one kind of went hard.
But
not gonna lie.
I say check those out. I say also check out the We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 23 Network. They've got video, which is awesome.
I know. Audio you can see their grimy little faces now.
Fuck. Hashtag podcast beef.
Oh wow, I forgot about that.
Yeah, here's the thing. When we do Audio Face video for y'all, we're not going to be recording on a Galaxy S4. So expect that for y'all. We do only do quality content over here at Audio Face, but they do quality content. We Made It. They do Substance Over Image. Their podcast goes hard in the world of soccer,
mm-hmm.
and you should absolutely check it out. We Made It podcast. What other things? Dan Theonet 15 coming along nicely. I'm actually going to be doing the filming tomorrow as I shoot this, so be on the lookout for that. But let's get into the Death Corner.
Too much sauce.
So, Sean, Craig Mack, who was a rapper from Bad Boy, who's the group that Diddy was in, I believe.
Yep.
But he's on Bad Boy Records and everything. He died of age of 46 because of heart failure.
Damn.
And he only had one big track. I want to say it was Flavor in Your Ear. And I remember that. It's like one of those like hip hop staples. But he got a remix with LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes, Notorious B.I.G. from what I'm reading. And like that's just like, you know, it's just he's of that era and he's like one of those people that's gone. It's, you know, it's the same thing that's kind of said all the time when this happens, but you know, it's sad. Even though he didn't have like that much of a, I guess, impact or a career, he was just one of those people that you kind of like saw in those music videos with MTV Raps and everything.
Yeah, I mean, damn, that's sad, they all.
What's also sad?
Many things are sad, but I know what you're about to say.
Keyboard cat.
Keyboard cat, dog. The young little... like the little meme cat or whatever. Musically talented kitty.
From like 2009?
Yeah, exactly. Rip. Damn, dog. That was 2009. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's... That was like one of the oldest, well, not the oldest memes, because they're like memes as long as the internet's been around. But this is a whole like da 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 da, that little keyboard cat thing.
Yes.
So that's sad.
Rip cat.
But let's. That's why we're talking about death in the beginning of the show, so we can kind of, you know, let's pay our respects, let's get that out of the way, let's, you know, say our grace before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Let's talk about that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool if you put
Unless
the
you have
right
any
thing.
Last words about Keyboard Cat. Is there anything?
Nah.
Anything you want to say before we bury?
Before
gone, but
before
not forgotten.
Before we bury the cat? Nah, burn the cat. You don't want to bury it, it may become like a zombie.
Anyways, I pasted the wrong link in the rundown, but we kind of know how to explain this anyways. But it's kind of like... McCabe, who just got fired from the FBI, the deputy FBI director. Vince Staples' retirement plan has also been cut short because that whole GoFundMe thing that he did last week is not, he just canceled it because people weren't, it was, really wasn't hot. It had been up for like a week or so. It only raised $2,000 or $2 million.
Which that means that's kind of a good thing.
Absolutely, because we, you know,
that's
audio
what we said.
Knowing that we could have driven. We would have driven so much traffic to Vince Staples' GoFundMe that it would have been really tough. Like, I'm glad we didn't publish the link in the description because that might have really done it in. But, yeah, he took it down going, okay, I'm going to reimburse everyone who donated because you're funny or whatever. And it's going to match the fund. So it's going to be about $4,000. It goes to the Michelle Obama Library in North Long Beach.
Off Atlantic. That's
that we literally like have driven by before
all
like,
the time.
We know it. It's in our city.
Yeah, I know exactly. Right. Yeah, I mean, you said the goon is doing it right there on Atlantic, the Michelle Obama Library. I go, that's kind of rough, but I mean, Long Beach can't be rough in that area, so you know, shout out.
I mean,
that's
the Michelle Obama Library. I think. I mean, I don't want to get into too much of a meta Long Beach conversation because, like, that's interesting to maybe 2.5 people who listen to the show. But like, I think. That might be one of the newer libraries, or like one of the libraries that was recently redone.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. Since we're in the rap world, because that's how I kind of structure the show, in case you didn't know, let's get into Bishop Nehru's new album, Elevators Act 1 and 2. Oh, also, I forgot to say, follow us on AudioFacePod on everything. Do that. But Elevators Act 1 and 2 is... About 30 minutes long, right?
How long is it? That's a very good question. Hold on.
It's like 33 minutes long. And while I'm kind of figuring that out, I need to describe how it is. So it's an album by Bishop Nehru, who's like an up-and-coming artist. We've talked about... I talked about him, or like
we both have talked about him. We like him too.
Yeah, I think I mentioned I originally because I had him as one of my music recommendations a while ago. Like super early on. But we... talked about him more recently when he released his mixtape Emperor Nehru's New Groove with Bulby's Trap Anthem and everything. But this is his proper album coming out. And so it's produced by K-Tronada and Doom, but the first half of the album is only produced by K-Tronada and the second half is only produced by Doom.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Which is ironic because I like the second and a half part two better than part one. That's really funny. I didn't know that.
Interesting. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. I want you to go first on your take, because I always go first.
Yeah. Other mechanics about the album is that it only has one feature, which is Lion Babe, who's has amazing work all in her own right. Amazing hair.
And
all
she did a track of Exposure.
Yeah, I remember that as well. I was thinking about that. But also, I think Lion Babe's done some...
she's done her own shit.
She had a single that just came out, Honeydew. That was also really good that I heard. But anyways, how I felt about the album. I was wondering how it would work, like how it would work as K-Tronauta and Doom producing. And the fact they're kept separate, I was wondering how that would work as going in. And that's probably good. And the dynamics of this album being 12 songs long and then being split in half is interesting. But I think also good refinement, because it forces each of these producers, K-Tronauta and Doom, to basically get an album's worth into 6 songs. So you have to have the slow, the fast, the high, the low, the like mellow, the happy. Like, you have to pack all that emotion to 6 songs. So like, you can't put filler. It all has to be your best, and all has to do that. And so when you start with the album, K-Tronauta's part, Ascension, or like that's the act one or whatever, leading to Up, Up, and Away. That's K-Tronauta's part. I think the best part is the latter half.
Mm.
So from the Game of Life down to Up, Up, and Away.
Okay.
I think that was just kind of more lively. Drift In and No Idea, it's like Bishop Maru, like similar flow, more of his like melancholic, reflective kind of beat thing that you see on like some of his earlier mixtapes. I think it's really good, don't get me wrong. But I think as far as the pacing of the album goes, I maybe would have put... I would have swapped like the third and fourth song, maybe, just to make the pacing a little bit better.
Okay.
It just started really slow.
Yeah.
But like, it didn't stop once it got there.
Mm-hmm.
Even going into Doom's part. So like, once you got to... Even No Idea, I thought was kind of good through the middle. Then the Game of Life, it really picks up, and then everything is just... Bishop Nauru is on point with his rapping. The production is on point. The transition, I guess, is fine because it's just this little like jingle, I guess, or like a couple little notes going on. And then it's just classic Doom beats after that. The K-Tronauta beats are just like classic K-Tronauta beats. So, like, they're jazzy, they've got like funk. And then the Doom beats are quirky. They've got weird like cartoon bits in them, or like weird sound effects and noises, but it's got that eerie, villainous tone to it and all. And so you get the best of both producers. You get the best of Bishop Nauru's like flows and his styles through most of everything that he does, other than like the trap that he does sometimes. And then I really love the Lion Babe collaboration a lot. But I've said a lot about it. What do you think?
I love it. The whole album. It's really good. I like Driftin'. Second song, I agree with you that it definitely started slow, so I felt that when I was going. I'm like, okay, I don't know why you started with Drifting, but okay, I love that song, it's really good. Up, Up, and Away goes hard with Lion Babe. I definitely liked after Act 2. I liked those songs a lot more, especially Again and Again. I had that song on repeat today. It's really good.
Yeah.
Again and Again goes super hard. It's very, very refreshing just to hear normal rap instead of this constant swarm of trap. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, where, you know, it gets to be very monotonous. A lot of people listen to it. It all starts to blend together and sound the fucking same at some point. And it's nice to really have a true and true lyricist putting on his work and his craft. I mean, he was dropping bars throughout the whole album. And it wasn't corny bullshit, it was good stuff. And it's very, very refreshing to hear that. I like Bishop Nauru for a while, ever since of the Doom collaboration, Rivian Doom. Since then, that's when he got put on my radar. And then also when he did You Stressin' with Disclosure produced that track. Both of those were in 2014. Since then, I'm like, alright, this guy's pretty damn good.
One of the pioneers of mixing electronic music with rap, by the way, was that track. You Stressin'.
Shit, that track is amazing. I still listen to it today. It's really good.
Yeah, I remember going back and going, more music needs to be like this. Like, EDM is this, like, really ripe genre. I was speaking back in 2014, and then rap has so much to give and so much like more to be, but it's kind of like you've done a lot with the instrumentation. You can only do so many samples, so many loops, so many like Jay-Z rock beats. You gotta do something different. So like, let's make them collide. And I think Vince Staples is on the forefront with them robot video game beats, but like this is this isn't that. This isn't robot video game beating. This is, if you've heard an album produced by K-Tronauta, this sounds like that. If you've ever heard Food or anything like any of the special herbs, like the Doom instrumentals, this isn't one of the Doom instrumentals, but like it has that touch for sure. It's indescribably, like you could tell it a mile away. And I think that's great. And like I said, because there's no filler, even Driftin' and No Idea aren't filler. They're just like not songs I would start an album with and not songs I would put back to back. But like, yeah, I really, if I could make the bold statement, there hasn't been a rap album that has been as like, as a complete work, as good as this. Honestly, for me, since, well, not as good and like not this long, but it reminded me a lot of Mad Villainy in that this is as a piece, as an album, just like complete.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that there is really no holes at all, which was refreshing as well. Every song kind of went together in the way where nothing was overpowering one, if that makes any sense. Because usually that happens in many albums where there'll be a couple songs lined up that overpower the rest of the album to where you can kind of forget about the rest of the work done on it. And this one doesn't do that at all. To where you like, I like pretty much every single song on this album. I mean, there's the two little filler things, but that's just like act one and act two. But that's just,
and honestly, that,
but that's a,
I wouldn't
filler.
Know how else you would separate the fact that
it's a filler.
Literally, there's two separate producers.
Yeah. And that was really, really cool to hear the differences in it. And I did not know that as well. Yeah, it's a good album. Right. I like it. I really, really like it. So let's do our scores. I'm trying to think of what should our arbitrary go under, unless you have more shit to say.
I don't. Just be careful with your scroll wheel, because it picks up on the mic.
Oh, that's why I have a different mouse. I'll use my pad a bit more. Okay, yeah. What's our arbitrary? What's our grading system?
Last week I was screwing with you and I came up with the finger system, so you gotta come up with something.
That's too much sauce.
Whoa!
It's late night, Sean, and that means my brain goes wild and I don't like that. You don't need that in your life. No one needs that in their life. Okay.
You know, never mind.
No.
How about this? Never mind. That's way too much sauce. No, I'm going to go with mine. No.
Yes, you are.
No, I can't.
Yeah, go. Let's hear it. Fuck it. I want to hear it. I'm interested now.
No, I can't turn this into a rating system, actually. Because I was going to reference another thing we were talking about before the show started, but like I can't turn that into a rating system. I guess,
What the hell? How would you?
You know what? Let's call it this. We should really do pre-planning as to like what rating system we use.
Right, people have tuned out by now if they're tuned in.
Yeah, you know what? I have Wallaby over here, so Wallaby is going to be the rating system. Good old Wallaby. So out of 5 Wallabies, my little inflatable or like stuffed shark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Walla.
How many Wallabies are you giving elevators? I'm giving him 5.
I'm giving him 5. Like, it's damn, dude. Give you that solid like A. The good album.
I know I like Bishop Neru a lot. I know I have that bias, but I think I'm allowed to have that bias because
he makes good shit.
He's talented. And K-Tronauta, like, you're not going to tell me that K-Tronauta is not one of the greatest producers in the rap game. You're not going to tell me that Doom's one of the greatest producers in the rap game.
Ever. And in history.
Of rap. Would love time to stop right now because I don't have a good feeling about MF Doom meets Starface. or Metal Face Meets Sour Face that comes out like next week or the week after that. Cause I feel like it's gonna sound Uncle.
Yeah, Andy, me too.
And I just wanna remember Doom like this. I wanna know he's a killer producer at the top of his game. I wanna just leave it at that. But you know, meanwhile in Wyoming. Oh wait, what's your score? Oh yeah, both my scores.
We both gave him straight fives.
Meanwhile in Wyoming, Kanye West, I really came close to saying that wrong. So there's apparently, we're hearing that Kanye West is being joined by Nas, Travis Scott, and Kid Cudi in Washington for a recording session. We talked about Kanye West being in Wyoming super, like, first 15 episodes of Audio Face. Because last year he was reportedly working on an album in, like, the middle of nowhere.
Allegedly.
In that Wyoming bunker. That might have been like episode 10 of Audio Face. I think that was around the time we had Caesar on.
I can't remember when he was last on. It was something like that. Oh, yeah, that's right, because that was the R. Kelly.
Drake is apparently there too. That's more of a conspiracy, but you know, it's a Yeezy album. It's got Yeezy would have on an album. Yeah. So, you know, that's happening. That's brewing. Maybe.
Just stop.
It's all a rumor, but the plot might thicken. We'll see. Definitely a Kanye album will be great. I'll definitely.
All right. Can you just go broke and like file for bankruptcy already, please?
Again. Run for president. Julian Casablancas. Speaking of which, actually.
Oh, no. God. I just saw this.
No. So this is actually. This is going to be a little bit interesting of a conversation, I think. So Julian Casablancas, he thinks that mainstream resistance to Trump completely misses the point. Mm-hmm. And no, this is nuanced. This is like an Audio Face take right here. Basically, what Julian Casablancas is saying is that, it's a cultural brain shearing that makes Ed Sheeran more popular than Ariel Pink. And so Julian Casablancas from The Strokes, The Voids is like, says that President Trump is, quote, just a symbolic facade, a puppet of real problems.
Well.
And that, like, go ahead.
No, nothing. Keep going.
Okay, one last quote. Quote, the dissident voices like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, you used to see them a little bit in the mainstream. And now it's so repressed that people have to go to, like, RT to speak their opinion. And now they're trying to shut RT down. It's like, it's almost like the new Star Wars, where there's 10 people left on the ship, and it's like, the resistance, that's all that's left. And then not telling them what to say.
I mean, okay, this guy is... Wow, okay. I thought... I'm just...
Sean got blown away by how woke he is.
Oh my god, he cited Chris Hedges. All right, this guy gets Casablancas because I mean, he was on Daft Punk last album, and he gets, I think, 85 vote points for citing Chris Hedges, because Chris Hedges goes hard and interviews
Trump's, on contact with Chris
on
Hedges,
contact on RT. Interviews Chomsky all the time. I mean, hashtag no politics. It's too politicsy. I was worried it was going to be one of those Lana Del Rey articles where the artist just goes, like, on one of those stupid tangents about how they're so sad because the world sucks and this and that. And I go, no. He's like, hey, I'm actually left. There you go.
Julian goes in.
He probably listens to Tarka Lee and shit, so damn.
Probably listens to Audio Face.
He subscribed to Audio Face, dog. Like, straight up.
Probably one of the first, like, 50. /10. Oof. Anyways, this is actually kind of related because we have talked on this show, as political as we get, and as, like, you know, you can guess our political affiliations, maybe. If you listen enough, but we have been very critical about artists who have anti-Trump stances in their music just to have them, where there's not much basis to them or like there's not much depth to it. or it just feels out of place, right?
Yes.
We've done that. And we've been pretty consistent on where that is, where that doesn't happen. Most of the time, people fail at it. We joked about Lana Del Rey. A Tribe Called Quest, on the other hand, I feel they didn't do it. And even before Trump was, like, elected, because the album came out in November 2016. So, like, it was just the election season was happening. And, like, everything that was culminating around it was kind of happening in the creation of the album. Not to mention, like, everything that was going on, like, the kind of culmination of the end of A Tribe Called Quest. But they're upset that they were upset. They're upset that they didn't get any Grammy nominations at all for their final album, which, I don't know. On the one hand, like, hashtag fuck the Grammys, why do we care?
Right.
But is it, what does it say to you that the Grammys, given that we give take with a grain of salt, the Tribe Called Quest album, in my opinion, was phenomenal. Like, it was everything an old artist. It's like everything what I assume the Starface meets Metalface Doom can never be, which is taking it back old school while making it sound completely fresh and completely new and completely, like, in tune to the modern day.
Right.
Like, that did it perfectly. And it was, to the Julian Casablancas point, political, but not in an overt way. But I mean, like...
But yeah, exactly. Not the annoying, whiny
the
way.
The first song is "There Ain't No Space Program for Niggas."
Like,
so, like, it's a little bit worse.
Like,
so,
whoa, but, just going at it, going full gas.
But, like, to me, it shows the, let's be kind here, cultural ineptitude of the people in the Grammys to not see, like, the art that is in that particular album.
Yeah, I mean, Grammys suck anyways. Hold on, the cat wants in. Naturally, because hashtag Mochi Industries. Oh my god, she's reaching under my door with a paw. This is beautiful. Keep talking. I'm gonna let her in.
Oh, no worries. Love Mochi Industries. But, yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find a quote, yeah. Just to be honest with y'all, I thought we was going home with a statue, consequence said. Later noting that the album was Five Dog's last, effort on Earth, I think it was said. Last effort on Earth. And, you know, a lot of it's, like, fan service, but really, like, A Tribe Called Quest did so much for music and did so much for rap, this genre that is...
Yeah, they did a bunch for...
the genre.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the pioneers of, like... modern music, basically. Also, the Grammy, as I said before, the Grammy suck is it's just a giant star fuck fest, and a lot of the times the right artist doesn't get what it. It's just like the Oscars, how that happens all the time too. It's just a stupid award crap that really doesn't mean much. Well, at least in my opinion. So,
at least in your opinion. / You should check out the Audio Phase Awards, in which we did our own.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why like. It's the same thing with, like, sports awards and shit like that. It's just all based on opinion, and it's almost impossible to get the right, out the right awards. I mean, granted, this podcast is opinion, obviously, but people treat it like that's the truth and the only truth, so.
Yeah.
They definitely got fucked up. Okay, well, shall we move on?
Absolutely.
Well, that was... okay, dude, my mochi is being a mochi. Hi, cat. She came in my...
I cannot wait to see that.
She laid down, stuck her paw under my bedroom door, trying to open up my door. I let her in. She ran out, ran back in, ran out, and now she's just going, literally running back and forth. All right, cat. That's... yeah.
That's wild.
You might hear her claws right now in the hallway. Okay, that's why I talk always about Mochi Industries, because she's always on this podcast. Like, I can't escape her. Just about everyone we recorded, I look to my left, I'm like, god damn it.
Oh, Sean's cat for the new listeners.
Right? She's subscriber number two. Well, let's go to Yola Tango. There's a riot going on.
Yeah, it's an homage to Sly and the Family Stone's There's a Riot Going On.
That would make sense.
Which is a little... Sly and the Family Stone has a little personal place in my heart because you may not know this, but my dad was a backing bassist for them.
Wait, what?
When, like, they performed live.
What?
Yeah.
The hell?
True story.
Damn, dog. What? That's kind of... it's kind of random as hell.
Little random audio face
knowledge. Right? It's super random.
When they perform live, because they're based in San Francisco and they're active around the time, that's why, like, that's kind of how I started playing bass. So I am slightly influenced by Sly and the Family Stone. Like, it runs in my musical repertoire. Like, through my blood.
Well, that would kind of make sense, I guess. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. But over to There's a Riot Going On, a Yolo Tango joint that is an hour and 3 minutes long with 15 songs that kind of was interesting to me going into it. Do you want me to start with this? Because I feel like you start with a lot with the albums.
You started the last one, so I'll start this one. So it is, how long? 15 songs long, hour and 3 minutes, which is a bit long. It felt long as. It is very hipstery, just to say the least. Very ethernal, like that ethernal, ethereal, Ethereum invest.
I'm not gonna.
Let's not give away our secrets to financial success.
I do want to jump in and say just one thing.
Oh God.
It's called There's a Riot Going On. This is a very mellow album.
It is extremely mellow. It's mellower than Sigaros mellow, which is already, like, as mellow as it gets. And this is a bit too mellow for me. The first song, opening track, is completely instrumental, which I go, whoa, and it takes a long time to kind of build into it, and it wasn't... It's not like Sigaros where it builds and builds and builds for most of their songs, and it's kind of this eerie, creepy feeling. This one is more of just outdoorsy type of feeling, of Americana type, but at the same time, that wasn't the entire album. The whole album kept switching back and forth from just really random sounds. It didn't have a theme to it. There's a couple good songs on it, I think. Was it She Might? Or For You Too? I can't remember. There's one of them where it had an electric bass. It has an electric bass line that sounds like Silverson pickups, and that went hard. That was a really good song. And then the rest were kind of dull to me. It was really hit or miss, and nothing gelled together. Everything was, like, the whole album didn't have a sound, if that makes any sense. I don't know if you felt the same way.
That's interesting. I actually didn't feel exactly the same way. So, I agree with She May, She Might being a really great song, and probably one of the better songs on the album. I also like Polynesia Number 1.
It's not bad.
Above the Sound. And Out of the Pool reminds me of you, kind of, not really. But it has this, for You Are Here, the intro song, it's really instrumental and it doesn't build up like a Sigaros kind of thing, but I feel like it's a song that puts you in the mood really quickly, or like puts you in the idea of the album. Like, if they were to play the album fully through live and open up with this song, it would set the tone very quickly. And so for that, I would give it credit for, although, it's unconventional. And if you don't know what you're going into, this doesn't sound very different from what Yolo Tango generally sounds like or has sounded like, at least in recent years. So it's surprising if you're not into Yolo Tango or you haven't heard them a lot, but not that different if you have heard them before. So as far as have they changed, it's also a different sound, but it's still like the kind of semi-repetitive jam bandiness that that Yolo Tango does, which, like, I personally enjoy of indie. Like, what I hate of indie is the random whining, random, like, complaining stuff, like the extraness of the music that just makes it kind of like a chore.
Yeah.
And YOLO Tango does none of that generally. And so that's great. It's just like sticking to the music. And yeah, it's mellow. It reminds you of like being around a campfire. But it's weird because I'm usually not the one defending mellower music. Usually that's Sean.
Yeah. And but, this is rare where we both, where we don't really agree on it. Usually we're like on it, yeah. But I go, nah, sorry, fam. I definitely did. I didn't like it, which I was shocked because from the other stuff I listened to from them, I did like it. But this one, I don't know, just it didn't set off the right foot for me. Maybe it's because I wasn't in the mood for it. If that makes sense. Because like Cigarettes was one of my favorite bands of all time. They're top three for me, but I have to be in a mood to listen to them.
Right.
If that makes any sense. So I might like it a bit more if I'm in that kind of state of mind to listen to post-rock stuff. Well, this isn't post-rock technically, but you kind of get the idea. But this time, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it at all.
I was giving a lot of praise for the album. I didn't get into what I didn't like about it that much. And what I didn't like about it was quite... Sure, let's go. No, but what I didn't like about it was honestly a lot of it. It just felt, not even just like filler, but it just felt like songs that were missing a bit of purpose or sense. It's weird because the album has a sound for sure, but it's hard to describe. But you can definitely have an album that makes a sound make sense or have purpose, or the sounds are there for a reason, or it just works and collaborates together. But every song on this album seems just a little bit too out of place within that sound for it to be really working properly. And so that makes it lack a little bit of cohesion. And yeah, you're right. The songs are kind of all over the place as far as, I guess, tone and ideas go, if you are. So that makes up the cohesion a little weird. Like, by the time I got to Here You Are, I was like, wait, did the entire album sound kind of like this? When I heard it again, I was like, kind of, but not really. It's just kind of the vibe you get in the beginning and the end. It's like you're peeping into a room when you're on an acid trip and you get distracted by the visuals for a little bit, and the music is kind of getting you in, and you peep out and go, okay, now back to everything else because I just got distracted because I'm a druggie just staring into space. Like, that's kind of what I imagine this album is like, and if that's your vibe, that's cool. But I mean, as far as a piece, there's definitely cohesion to be desired.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. I'll allow it. As my famous phrases go. All right, so on a scale of...
The Wallaby
scale, I'm giving it a solid... shit. What do I want to do? 2.7?
2.7? Oh, yeah, I guess you can... Why are we chopping up my animal? Yeah, I'm...
Because we're trying to feast the shark teeth and fins, because we've got to make shark fin soup.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, before vegans and vegetarians yell at me, I'm one of you assholes.
We are both one of you.
For 6 years, so shut up.
Although, pescatarians, we've done your drug.
I'm gonna tweet that.
Pescatarians, we've done your
drug.
I'm
literally gonna tweet that right now. No one's gonna look at it except for you. This is beautiful, pescatarians. We've done it.
I'll retweet it. It's okay. Yeah. Talking about our branding is great music talk. So yeah, 2.7 for you. I'm gonna go with 3.3. I'm gonna buck you on that.
All right.
So we're gonna average out to 3. Because I think all in all, this is supposed to be the year where, you know, we get to kind of see what indie is doing, what we're all coming from. And there's so much indie to dig into, and you can really see a lot of it. I think a lot of this album is forgettable, but the gems are really nice. Where I think the last album with Elevators, we were talking about how everything on the album stands really strong. I don't think there's a lot that stands strong on the album, but what does stand strong. And the rest of the album is just like mediocre together. But also in a way that doesn't quite make sense.
Right.
But it's good enough. YOLO Tango, everybody.
Right. Well.
Shall we go to the next thing?
Yep, sorry. I was trying. Damn, there we go.
Yeah, so we've been going back and forth on this, but apparently we're just going to go with the idea that Cardi B's pregnant. Apparently we're accepting that. Because before, in the past No Chill Island, it was Let Me Fat in Peace, which was going to be like Sean's new shirt.
It was going to be my new shirt.
But yeah, Cardi B is going to be, she just got an acceptance speech at the iHeart Radio RIP Music Festival.
Wow.
That award must be like worth less than Bitcoin.
It really is, because it's like super RIP, and yeah, it's just rough.
Yeah, so also, we've been meaning to do like a major industry shit episode
right
for a past little while, but you know, there's been like a lot of music, a lot of different things going on. I think maybe next week, I'm also gonna get Sean a little bit of fun doing a little bit of piloting for the podcast. He's gonna be producing a mega conversation of industry shit.
That's gonna be fun.
For the like 23rd of March. So we're going to be talking about the past, basically quarter of crazy music industry news, assuming we get a break a little bit from other releases. I think there's like a Jack White thing we might be checking out.
Yeah, yeah, he has an album.
Yeah, and maybe some other stuff that pops up. You know, sometimes releases just happen throughout the week, and you're like, yeah, let's give this a try. It might be one of those weeks, but we're going to do all that stuff. But anyways, iHeart Media, which runs iHeart Radio and basically half of all the radio stations in the United States, they declared for bankruptcy.
Yep.
That happened this week, so
that's rough.
Cardi B was there holding that award. But anyways, apparently, this is kind of a snub to Beyonce. So apparently Beyonce tapped out of the music festival last year because she was carrying twins, which was true. That was the reason given. But Cardi B is going to be performing at Coachella, and she's apparently 8 months pregnant with Offset's baby. Offset from Migos.
And now we know why she was yelling at Offset all the day.
Yep.
Cardi, blah, 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 Cardi. Sorry, on one of the songs I thought she sounded like she was slow or something. I don't know if I need
Offset.
I don't know if I need to bleep that out or not, but oh well. I try to use politically correct terms because it's not a No Chill yet. If it was No Chill, then I would have straight gone 1950s on it. But
slow is fine. I think slow is acceptable.
Slow is acceptable.
We can do
you
that.
You can do that? Good, good, good.
Slow is acceptable.
We'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Well, toe in the line. But yeah, the main story is that I think that's just kind of amazing that you're performing 8 months pregnant live.
Right? Like,
I mean, something just needs to be said for that. That's wild.
It's a bit much.
But that is not in No Chill Island. The next story is not in No Chill Island. But the next story is about how Death Grips, the experimental rap rock thing, is apparently working on a new album with, of all people, Andrew Adamson, who was the director of the first two Shrek films.
What? What the hell?
Yeah.
That's... Okay, I'm reading this now. This is just random as hell. Yeah. Okay. I'm just to leave it at that. I have nothing to say. Fuck that. That's weird. Now...
That's just... I didn't expect to be reading that headline ever.
No, that's just incredibly random. Just as random as your dad playing bass for humans. Okay.
Welcome to No Chill Island 6.
I don't think everybody's ready. I don't think anybody's ready for this.
What are the rules?
First off, I nearly just did the audio phase accidentally unmuting my laptop thing. I was very close to doing that, but I didn't because I'm more professional than Dan. So. Turn that on you. Rules of No Chill Island are very simple. We try to not get bleeped, but get bleeped the fastest. Whoever gets bleeped first loses / wins. So that are the rules of No Chill Island. Don't get kicked out of the podcast. It's pretty simple. And we are pretty lenient with what doesn't get bleeped too, so it's gotta be something pretty bad.
Basically, there's a secret point to No Chill Island. In case you didn't realize, some of the savvier listeners, Audio Face is a show about morality and culture, disguised as a show about music.
There we go.
And part of how we play with that dichotomy is that we invent a show, we invent a segment that in this politically correct time challenge us to be as least politically correct as possible. Bless you.
Seco.
But by doing this with some sense of self-awareness, we bring awareness to, you know, the boundaries that we're crossing, what we can and can't say, while also keeping it 100% real.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's why we made this damn
podcast.
If
that being said, Sean might say something horrible about Lil Pump, so buckle up.
It's Lil Pump. You don't know what's going to be said out of my mouth. God, that guy.
Yeah, so first things first, let's get moderately serious. Very serious, actually. So Datsik, who is a fairly popular but really overrated
shit.
DJ. Yeah. has sexual misconduct claims against him.
Ooh, saucy.
And multiple women came forward this week saying that, coming out with different accusations. And he was silent before coming out with a statement that said, quote, "I don't condone that kind of behavior and I care about every single person that I meet on the real. I know this is a sensitive subject and I'm also a sensitive dude, so please say what you must, but honestly, I want you to know that this shit means the world to me. I'll make a bigger effort to make sure that nothing I do will be misinterpreted in the future." Notice how that's not an apology or an acceptance of any responsibility whatsoever, and that's mostly just empty platitudes and him trying to make it seem like he's great, not that any of his actions are necessarily good. And Rave World destroyed him.
Yeah.
So what do you have so far before I go to the pylon?
So, I mean, A, his music is shit. B,
very.
He's doing the Kevin Spacey. The
not as bad, but
not as
close.
Bad, but close. As in, not apologizing for his actions at all. Basically accepting it, but saying, "Oh, it means a lot." Blah blah blah. No, dude. If it does, then you would do some type of apology, try to make up for it. I'll make up for it now. Come on, even Carl Lewis owns up to his mistakes midway through doing the national anthem. Come on, dog, you can do the same. It's not that hard. Lance Armstrong did it.
And it's way...
Come on, dude.
Exactly.
Own up to your mistakes.
But, no... Huh?
It's own up to your mistakes and apologize to the people that you fucked over.
Precisely. No one in, EDM was having it because that's just the culture. Cruella tweeted, "Yo, bro, your deception isn't fooling anyone but yourself. Own up to your actions and accept the consequence. Have some fucking honor." Jaws says, "What goes around comes around. Be a good person, good things will come. Be a horrible fucking human being, and eventually will bite you in the ass." Rez, horrendous, and it's a big, big mistake. Flux of Pavilion, people need to be held accountable for your actions. Just everyone's just going so... And oh my god, never mind.
It's pretty bad.
In 2011, someone found a tweet from Datsik where he's quote tweeting someone that says, quote, "Rape is such a strong term. I prefer the term struggle snuggle." To which he responds, "Ha ha."
Oh no. Oh no. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. No.
I've actually never read something so, cutely horrendous before.
This is pretty bad.
This is the kind of stuff that I expect from the kind of internet where they, make porn out of 10-year-old anime. But anyways, let's talk about Lil Pump, right? Shall we?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do this then. We're
about to trigger some weird parts of some algorithms that are going to get us really banned.
Yeah, that's just not. All right, so Lil Pump reportedly signs a new deal with Warner Bros. We need a compilation of how many times I've fumbled words.
I don't have time.
Right. He signed, a $1 million deal or some bullshit.
Okay, so let me explain.
Oh my god, what? Okay, I just read this.
Pump will receive an $8 million advance as part of the new deal. $9,000 its first year, moving to $12,000 the second, and $15,000 each year for the rest of the contract's duration, in addition to 14% of his royalties in the U.S. And his contract's duration is for... I'm not sure, but his original contract was voided because he's underage.
I'm going to lose. I'm saying it now. I'm about to lose.
All right. I'm just going to sit back and watch.
All right, this is... All right, you see his face, see how he dresses and how he's an idiot and everything. That's what happens when... White on the inside, black on the outside.
I didn't delete the whole thing. It's just... Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I lost for like 8 episodes now. I don't think I can do another Dungeon Island.
I'm not hosting the podcast with you anymore.
I told you, I put my head down and I'm like, I told you I'm gonna lose.
Straight up. Okay. Oh man. So, in episode 43 of Audio
Sean
Face,
lost.
33 of Audio Face. No, in episode 33 of Audio Face, which was not even 10 episodes ago, Kodak Black got arrested.
Oh, that's right.
He's now being, yeah, on Instagram, by the way, on Instagram Live.
I forgot it was on Instagram. I forgot about that.
So, he was... apparently sentenced to 30 days in solitary confinement for trying to contact someone he was barred from speaking.
Damn, that's rough. Shit.
I have a really hot take for this.
I want to hear it.
I'm on Kodak Black's side.
What's his side?
No, as in, like, I'm taking up his defense, because solitary confinement...
Oh, against the practice, God, yes. Against him being in jail, no. But solitary.
Oh, fuck no. fucking make it 60. Keep it going.
Keep it going. Let's go max security. You gotta drop that soap and bend over and get the health inspector to come over you.
Fuck! Jesus Christ. That's another segment I have to entirely delete. Just everything after soap. Jesus Christ. It's like an ant in Nagasaki.
Oh, Jesus. Like, September or like, October. Like, October when the radiation set, he comes out from the ground and he's like, what happened here?
I mean, like, this June after the Trump-Korea talks.
Oof. Why did this happen again? Yeah, let's... Don't do solitary confinement. Yes. UN ban it. Okay. Now we go on to...
All right, so... So now, because Sean hasn't gotten himself in enough trouble, we're going to talk about Drake's Fortnite stream.
But this won't get me banned. This is just a rant.
So wait, hold on, okay? So let me do some explaining, because I have very little to talk about with this story, all right? I have a lot more to talk about with the next story. But let's just go... I'll give a little bit of an explanation. So Drake is an artist. He's not a particularly great artist, but he's a popular one. He's got a couple of catchy
Canadian
songs. Fake Jamaican. Fortnite, TF2 ripoff. I mean, sorry, Overwatch ripoff. I mean, sorry, any...
PUBG.
It's another cartoon shooter.
It's a straight Player Unknown's Battleground ripoff, like, straight up. But I will get into that in a second. You keep going.
Yes, and so, anyways, Drake decided to... do a Twitch stream, which is the live stream of him playing a video game. This video game called Fortnite, which has become like popular in meme culture and everything, but it's popular because cartoon shooters get really popular and it's built off of popular games and whatever. And so Drake broke a bunch of records streaming this with Travis Scott, I believe. And yeah, 90,000 people were viewing.
600,000 viewers.
Like it's.
Huh? He had 600,000 viewers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane.
600,000 viewers. Yeah, one of the most... Yeah. I was reading another part of the article where it said One of the most popular gamers on Twitch usually draws an audience of around 90,000.
Yeah, that's usually about.
So Drake, like, murdered that.
Because he's Drake.
Yeah.
So, fuck Fortnite and its family and its couch and its cat and its aunt and its baby mama. Stupid ass video game that is a straight ripoff of PUBG or PlayerUnknown's Battleground. Like, literally, that came out in May. Fortnite came out in September and is basically the same principle, just cartoonized. And then...
Is it the same developers?
No, different developers.
Oh, that's...
It's the same... I don't want to get too much into it because it'll kind of bore people unless you're big into video games. But it is the same principle mechanics of the game, the same style of play, except it's cartoonized and you can build things. The rest of it is the same. It's like a Hunger Games style of video game where you're in like a circle. You have to find your own weapons, kill everybody, and try to survive. And you have a little play area that you're allowed to play in, and it kind of shrinks up. So you have to keep moving in the map. Now, this game got popular all of a sudden out of nowhere when PUBG came out last year, and that the game is 10 times better. And I hate it when something gets completely ripped off and no one seems to care, and now this is the one that gets blown up all over in social media, all over in big stars like Drake playing it now and streaming it. So now more people are knowing about that, but not the original game. I had actually a guy at my job who he plays Fortnite, and I go, "Oh, nice! I play PUBG." And he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Hello, wait, what? PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds?" He's like, "I don't know what that is." I go, "Hello, what the fuck? It's the same game. It came out first, though." So, it's like if somebody completely stole your beat, or, Jesus Christ, or Microsoft stealing Windows.
Yeah.
Like, that style. So, fuck that game so much. And goddamn, 600,000 viewers on Twitch? It's ridiculous. These shitty artists need to stop getting followings. But that's just celebrity artists, and that's a different topic. And already got banned from two segments, so I don't want to get too much into it.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever gotten banned from three segments at once, but I think that might mean you're legit off the show.
I think I would formally resign from my own podcast if I got three in a row.
Like, if I don't, like, what kind of enforcement mechanism do I really have?
Right, you got nothing. You got no say then.
Basically, and then lastly, No Chill Island. Let's see if I can get some licks in. Although I don't know, this is the one I'm really mad about. So Snapchat. Where do we start? So Snapchat on their Discover platform. Actually, no, their ad platform. So it's something you can't avoid, I don't think. Yeah, this is an ad. Oh my God. It said, "Would you rather slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown?"
Back. Holy hell.
By the way, it says "would you rather" like in the top and like the most like blocky text, and it's just like one box says slap Rihanna, one box says punch Chris Brown. First of all, I'd like to take the feminist stance here. Why isn't it punch Rihanna and punch Chris Brown? Why does it have to be that the woman's given less than the man? I think there should be equality in both.
Damn, going in rough.
Second of all,
going in hard out here. It's rough in the streets.
Obviously not condoning it. I'm just... That's an interesting that they... In this tasteless ad, they said, hey, punching would be too much. That'd be way too far. Let's slap Rihanna instead and then punch Chris Brown. That would be great. So as you can probably assume, this didn't do great for... Snapchat's numbers, and this already isn't doing well because Snapchat had a redesign that went completely disastrously. And so in an apology issued to BBC News, a spokesperson for Snap said the ad violates the social network's guidelines and was issued an error. And let me see. Snapchat stock loses $1 billion following Rihanna's scathing response to the offensive
Holy
act.
Hell. $1 billion. Not 1 mil. Not a couple mil. A bill.
800 million to be exact.
It's close enough. Round up. Bitcoin round up.
She says, "You spent money to animate something that would intentionally bring shame to domestic violence victims and made a joke of it," Rihanna wrote in her Instagram story. "This isn't about my personal feelings, because I don't have much of them, but to all the women, children, and men who have been the victims of domestic violence in the past, and especially the ones who haven't made it out yet, you let us down."
Yeah, I mean, that's Kylie, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're making jokes about it, and I did it earlier in that really edgy way that I will probably regret later on in my life, but, like, I...
Well, that's like, why I hate the fucking app anyways, to say the least.
Yeah, like, well, we can get into Snapchat and its disastrousness, and especially its redesign, like, ad nauseum.
Well, I just hate the thing in general. But yeah, we'll get to that a different time. This is even
especially
sometimes
Android
worse.
Users, but,
especially
Android users. But, like, this is just, as an advertiser, I can't believe you would make this. Apparently, this is something called Impossible Choices. Maybe it's an app or something. So I don't get why you would make an app that does this. I don't get why you would allow this ad in your platform. And... you know, it's just a series of, like, shitty moves by a tone-deaf-ass company. Like, I don't know what's the, like, tech version of kill yourself. But corporations are people, so I guess Snapchat should fucking slit its wrists and drop a toaster in the bathtub.
I think it should take a firing squad while swallowing cyanide along with jumping off a building and eating a nuke.
I think it should headbutt a fire extinguisher.
That's a new one. Damn. Like, I think it should go into space, get launched on one of Uncle Elon's Rocket Emporium rockets, sit in the Tesla, and take off its space helmet, see what happens.
I think Snapchat as a company have to choke on Bill O'Reilly's pubes.
All right, good night, folks. That's it for me. I'm checking out. I'm done. I'm out. That's it for me, guys. Bye. Good episode.
All right, thank you so much for listening to this quick. It's a quick one. We do little big ones. We do little ones. It's a little short one. A little over an hour. We didn't do the Pendulum and, what was it, Thundercat releases? Because Thundercat was just a bunch of remixes and Pendulum was a bunch of remixes.
Yeah, exactly.
I misread the calendar. But next week we'll have music, we'll have the cool industry conversation. I'll be live with Sean.
Yes, sir. Chicka-chee! You'll see some video.
We'll be hunting around for our new studio, actually, kind of. So
legend.
That'll be kind of fun. Allegedly. So catch us up. Follow us on @AudioFacePod on Twitter and Instagram for all those shenanigans. And follow Sean at SWSuarez on Twitter and Instagram. And at Dan from the Web for Twitter for me. At Dan from the Internet on Instagram. And Dan from the Internet everywhere fucking else.
Pretty much, yep. And that's what you also do. But don't delete us from ever. Listen to us forever. And yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. Bye.